Dear friends in Jesus Christ, the question today, are you foolish or are you wise? Well, maybe you need a little bit more information before you can answer. We're going to learn more about the meaning of those terms, and we're also going to look at some instructive Bible passages on the topic of wise and foolish. First of all, coming to the meanings, coming to the term wise, we're talking about someone who is skillful, clever, learned. Freiberg said that the wise are characterized by the ability to use knowledge for correct behavior or human skill. So someone with knowledge and then using it in a proper, beneficial way. Now, coming to the definition of foolish, it's kind of a harsh term, but someone who is foolish, we could say, is stupid. What does that mean? Oftentimes, they are speaking or acting without thinking it through. I'm in that category, maybe you are too, where I have said things or I have done things without thinking it through. Does that ever turn out well? Not for me it did. So probably not for you either. God wants us to know it's important to be wise, to say, okay, I'm about ready to say this. What is the outcome going to be? I'm about ready to do this. What is the outcome going to be? May God help us to be more in that category. Well, I want to talk a little bit about outcomes here. So the foolish, well, they are living for this world. So they are maybe trying to be extra physically healthy, they're trying to gain as much wealth as they can, they're trying to have as much pleasure as they can, so they're living for this world. What about the wise? Well, for us, may God help us to have less and less concern about the physical things of this world, understanding that they are only temporary and they are fading away. And as we have less and less concern for this world, may God grant us more and more concern about spiritual things which are eternal. Now, is that an easy thing to do? It's not, because we're living in a physical world. We can see all these physical things, and they're catching our eye, they're drawing our attention, so it's difficult to focus on the spiritual when we cannot see it. What do we say? Out of sight, out of mind. Being in the Bible then becomes so important, because the Bible keeps showing us these spiritual realities that we cannot see with our physical eyes. Thinking about foolish and wise, I want to share with you here Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Notice what Paul wrote. Those who are according to the flesh, so we're talking about an unbeliever, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's how it typically is. If you're an unbeliever, you're focused on the world. If you're a believer, you're focused more on spiritual, eternal things. Notice the outcome, though. The mind set on the flesh, what is the outcome? Death. Physical death, eternal death, eternal punishment, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So there is a very different outcome. There's a very different way of thinking, a very different way of proceeding, and a very different outcome. God wants us to see that. He wants us to know it should be a no-brainer to focus less on the things of the world and more on the things of God, which are of eternal significance. And then I want to share with you here something that Jesus said right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And what he's doing here is he wants us to see how we have two people and they had the same information, but one person took the information and acted upon it. The other person, same information, but did not act upon it. Think about what Jesus said here. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. So we're talking about somebody who heard the words of Jesus and acted upon them, and that's a wise person who heard them and then took action upon those words. And then he kind of says the opposite. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And notice right at the end, great was its fall. Why the greatness of its fall? I think what Jesus meant there, the greatness of the fall, is because that person did not expect their house to fall. In other words, to take it further, to take it more into reality, think about people who are gathering in churches all over the world and they are hearing the Word of God. I'm afraid that there are many people that just because they've gone into the building and they're seated in the pew and they're hearing what's being said, they think, oh, I'm doing well. I've gone into the church when many others have not gone into the church. So I'm here, I'm listening, I'm getting knowledge of what's being said, and I think I'm okay now. And I think if I keep doing that week after week, in the end, it's going to come out well. I'm afraid a lot of people are in that category. I think that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And when they get to the end and they find out that they did not know Jesus and they're not being welcomed in, that is going to be the greatest of all falls. Here they are living day by day, week by week, year by year, thinking that when the time comes, they're going to be welcomed in, and it's going to be a great crash because they heard the truth all that time and they did not act upon it. Now, we have to be careful when I say that. I'm not saying, oh, you better listen to what the Bible says and then put it all into practice. And if you put it into practice well enough, then you're going to be saved. That's not what we're talking about at all. But we're talking about having a right relationship with God. And from that relationship, then comes a desire within us to want to thank and honor our great God. And how do we do that? By putting His word into practice. Let's understand it's critical to hear, critical to understand, critical to believe, but we should not stop there. It's important that we also apply the Word of God. Consider this passage here in James chapter 1. Prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves, or we could say who deceive themselves. So I'm afraid there are many who are self-deceived. They are hearing, but they're not putting it into practice, and they think everything is okay, and yet it isn't. It's not complicated regarding salvation, but let's understand, though, the devil and the forces of evil, they are working 24/7 to deceive every one of us, including me. So it is so important that we are in the Word of God, that we are paying attention to what God is saying, and let's know that truth, let's always believe it, and then let's put it into practice and be confident that we are saved, that we are forgiven in Christ. Think about what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 13. He said, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." Now, we believe we are saved by faith alone. But what is this about making every effort to enter through the narrow door? God is saying to us, Be dead serious about my word. Be dead serious about your relationship with me. Be dead serious about taking what it says and putting it into practice in your life. That's not saving ourselves. That's living as a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's where God wants all of us to be. Well, I want to touch on just a little bit here with our Old Testament reading and our epistle reading. So going on to Proverbs chapter 9, we have a wonderful invitation here from wisdom. So we have many people in the world, and they're living in a way that they're in trouble, and the wisdom of God is inviting them to come in and to partake of the things of God and to be saved, you know, through the grace and the mercy of our great God. So I'm picking up here in verse 4, whoever is naive, in other words, whoever is easily deceived, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, wisdom says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake or abandon your foolish ways and stay alive, and proceed in the way of understanding, the way of insight, the way of awareness. God is calling the entire world to come and to be in that very situation. Well, God is inviting everyone to learn his word and be saved through Christ. We know what Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Don't be so busy, you don't have time for the truth of God. It is so important. When I think about young people today, I'm afraid that a lot of them are in great trouble. Now, we have many older people in great trouble too, but especially the younger people. Boy, there's so much I could say here, but let me keep it brief for now. I looked up some research that Barna did 8 years ago back in 2016. So he was looking at teenagers living in the United States who are from 13 to 17 years old. So this is what he discovered. So with 25% of them, when it comes to reading the Bible, they do it from once a week to more than once a week. When it comes to 75% of them, they read the Bible once a month at the most, going all the way to never. So those things don't look very good, but if we take a look at it even further and say, who is reading the Bible every day? We know what Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We understand the importance of eating physical food every day. How many of you either have eaten already today or are planning to eat something today? I should have asked it the other way and saw if we had any hands saying, nope, not going to eat today. Then I would say, hey, what about tomorrow? Now, there are some people that maybe go a couple days without eating. That could be a healthy thing even sometimes. But typically, though, hey, here we are. We're physically alive. We are nourishing our body on a regular basis. Well, it is important as Christians that we are getting the nourishment of God's word for our souls every day. How many young people are in that category? Well, regarding this survey, only 3% of teenagers are reading the Bible every day. And keep in mind, that was 8 years ago. Do you think that's probably has increased now? Or do you think it has decreased? My guess would be a decrease here. So isn't that such a sad thing? Sometimes we can't change other people, but at least for us, so let's be in the Word of God. Even taking only 5 minutes in the Word of God, we all have 5 minutes, but to read just a little bit of it and then think about it, pray about it. I just received an email yesterday. I was so glad to get it from a former member of Bethlehem. And it goes back to when I was trying to get people to be in the Bible every day and doing a particular daily devotion system. And I did know this person was working on it years ago, but I haven't heard anything for a long time. And she emailed me yesterday and she said, Pastor, after 11 years, and she told me exactly how many days she had been in the Bible every day, but after 11 years, she had gone cover to cover in the Bible, and she had learned so much, and she was so glad that she had done it. God wants us to be more that way. I'm going to talk more about that in the future at some point, but I just want to say that to encourage you. God has wonderful things for us in His Word, but it's not the idea of reading a lot of it, but it's such a key thing to meditate on the Word of God. So read a little bit, think about it, pray about it, apply it. So very important. Going on here in Proverbs 9, coming to the final verse of the text, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you don't fear the Lord, then you don't have wisdom, is really what it's telling us there. But think about it like this: a healthy fear of the Lord, that is to respect His power and to trust in Him as our God. It doesn't mean that we're afraid of God, but we understand He is God Almighty. We are so thankful that He loves us, that He made us, that He's providing for us, and we are trusting in Him. We are wanting to honor Him. For anyone not in that category, they're automatically in the other category, and what they should be doing is they should be shaking in their boots. They should be terrified of the Almighty God, but many people are not. Many people have told themselves that somehow, some way, it's going to turn out okay for them. What does the Bible say in Hebrews 10? It says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In other words, for someone who is rejecting Christ and goes all the way through his life, coming to the end and never taking Christ seriously, that person might die with a smile on his face, and yet when he dies, it is going to become a terrifying thing because of what God did and because the Son of God was ultimately rejected. So God wants us over on the other side. He wants us to know, hey, God is an almighty God. Oh yes, could He destroy us? He could. But amazingly, He loves us. He sent His Son for us. He provides what we need. He's promising us an awesome eternity. So we love Him. We respect Him. We want to honor Him. That's where God wants us to be. Think about what Moses said here to the people. So we're in Exodus chapter 20. So keep in mind, it's in Exodus 20. In verses 3 through 17 is where we have the Ten Commandments laid out. So we're only a couple verses after that. Moses said to the people, God has come in order that the fear of Him may remain with you so that you may not sin. So again, we're not talking about being afraid of God, but having this healthy respect for God. So we don't want to disappoint God. We want to honor God. And then a little bit on Ephesians chapter 5. So we have instructions here for believers in verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, be careful how you walk. In other words, be careful how you live is what that means. Be careful how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. How do we make the most of our time? Well, wise people make the most of their time by focusing on eternal souls. If we spend all of our time on something physical that in the end will be destroyed, that's not making the best use of our time. When we focus on things of eternal significance, that is best. Consider this passage in Proverbs 11. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. If we buy a new car, it's going to eventually break down and end up in the junkyard. If we focus on helping other people know Jesus, that's going to be a great blessing to that person. And then the Spirit of God working in that person is going to want to reach out to yet other people, and there's going to become this tree of life that begins to grow with these various eternal souls who have been touched with the truth of God and have been brought into the kingdom of God. That's what God wants us to be thinking about more and more. It's not that we ever do anything in the world. We kind of have to. We're living here. But may our focus so be more and more on focusing on the things that are spiritual, the things of eternal significance. In verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The foolish, they live in this fallen world. They live for the fallen world, and they don't know any better. The wise, we are seeking to know and to do the will of the Lord. May God help us to do that more and more. Here in verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, more and more then, we're going to be walking in step with the Spirit. That's what God wants us to be doing. So when we are in the Word of God, the Spirit of God is at work, making the truth known to us, showing us how it applies in our lives, and then we want to be relying on the Spirit then for the guidance and the strength to be able to live out what the Word of God says. We should be thinking about that. It doesn't just happen automatically, but we have to be thinking about it. Like moment by moment, day by day, we should say, dear Holy Spirit, I'm not quite sure whether to go to the right or to the left right here. Show me the way. Help me to know your will. Help me to follow. Help me to put the Bible into practice. So these are things that we should just go through in life with, again, moment by moment, day by day. And then the final one here, give thanks. So verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Let's remember that even on, let's say, the worst days of our lives, there are countless reasons to give thanks to our great God. I'm pretty good at focusing on the negatives, but I pray that God will help me more and more to forget about the negatives and focus on the positives and give thanks to God that He has blessed me in all these various ways. And also, when it comes to things I think are negative, I should say, well, Lord, you have permitted this into my life. You must have some kind of a purpose. So help me to accept it. Help me to learn from it. Help me to benefit from it according to your will. So may God grant us a right attitude about what's going on in our lives so we can accept what is coming, we can respond to it in a God-honoring way. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you for the living, dying, and rising of your Son, and we thank you for the eternal gifts that you have showered upon us, gifts like full forgiveness, membership in your kingdom, the coming bliss of living in your eternal presence, and so much more. We pray now, as we live day by day, that you would keep us wise and that you would work through us to draw other people to abandon their foolish ways and receive Jesus as Savior and as Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.